to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's going on, guys? It is Chris again, coming off a really hot, and I mean hot, TakeOver Portland. You know, I watched some of those matches again on TakeOver Portland. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. It was better than I originally thought. Like, when I originally watched it, I was saying that Gargano and Balor... The Broserweights match. Those were two must-sees. You know when I was correct. Those are absolutely two must-sees. But the more I watch Keith Lee, I watched the whole thing again just to kind of get into it because I completely took wrestling out of the picture. Like Monday, it didn't even exist. I didn't even look at anything that related to Monday night until... I mean, some things I saw on Twitter, obviously. It's kind of hard to escape that, but I completely went away from wrestling, and I just looked at it today before the show because I wanted to see what happened on Monday. And so if there's anything that I could cover or mention, bring up, anything like that, I wanted to do it. Monday night, I rewatched the two matches I wanted to watch. And, you know, my wife mentioned watching the Keith Lee match, you know, because she hears me talk about Keith Lee, and it's like, who is this guy? You know, she doesn't pay attention to NXT. She knows the big time guys. Those are the people she knows. She knows, you know, the Roman Reigns is the Shields, the, you know, Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, obviously, because I talk about him. Of course, she knows the old school Undertaker, you know, you got Goldberg, guys like that. She knows those people. But when I talk about Keith Lee, I'm like, dude, Keith Lee is the best thing going in wrestling right now. This is the type of guy that you need to pay attention to or you need to see. So we watched that match with Dijakovic. Now, not a big Dijakovic fan either. But for me, I don't mind him. I think those two work great together, like I discussed in the Portland review. Listen, please feel free to listen to that on the WWE_podcast on Twitter. If you find that, it gives you the links to some of the sites and some of the places you can find it, the Spotify's, the Apple iTunes, the iHeartRadio, in different platforms like that. You know, and you can actually link directly from my Twitter page, which is at this CO place to go. So feel free to follow me on that, just to kind of get some more insight on the Portland takeover. Make sure you do check that out completely. I highly recommend it. So now the great thing is that's not the last thing I'm going to be talking about, TakeOver Portland, but we're going to get into some other stuff that happened this week in wrestling and WWE on Raw. Matt Hardy taken out again by Orton. Is that the last time that we will see Matt Hardy on TV? Maybe. It's quite possible. He was supposedly killed off the week before, got a great strong response, so Vince brought him back. I mean, for me, you know, even seeing tonight, I saw Matt Hardy online with, you know, his hashtag free the delete, and there was someone that had the free the delete a sign at AEW today. They were in the Atlanta area. I'm going to talk about them in one quick second too, but it showed him kind of like looking and saying that that's wonderful. Do I think he's leaving? I'm super 50-50 on the fence. 50% that saying he's leaving relates to the fact that he seems, I don't want to say miserable, he's got a lot of time on his own with his family. They've given him time to heal. He did get to bring the delete, you know, that gimmick to WWE. He did have a chance to do that. I think it went well. You know, with Bray Wyatt, the Deleters of Worlds, they were tag team champions for a little bit. Bray Wyatt got hurt. You know, it was very, you know, it was different than it was in TNA and Ring of Honor, where he did this character as well, mainly TNA. It was different, you know. It wasn't exactly what it was. Now, do I think it could be better? Yes. I think that if Matt Hardy re-signed, which I think would be awesome. If he does re-sign, I think he does need creative control. I think he has to have creative control over his character. Where does he fit in? It's kind of weird because, you know, he's not a main event character. I think that character is great, but I also don't think that character needs to be fighting for championships. I think he'd be just a character who's kind of around, who shows his face, does things, mid-card, maybe an intercontinental belt, maybe a U.S. championship belt. But I don't think that that is a main event character, you know. Not that the Fiend, the stuff that he does, you know, it's totally different. Totally different. To me, the Fiend has not been jobbed. Bray Wyatt has been jobbed, you know, but the Fiend as that gimmick has not. So I just think it would be bad business to have the character of Matt Hardy in that situation. So I just don't think they're going to do that. You know, again, I wish him the best. I hope he sticks around. The 50% of me that thinks he is staying relates to if he got creative control, but also I don't think he'd be posting all the stuff about AEW. Remember when Randy Orton did that and he ended up re-signing? I think it's, I don't want to say they use it as leverage, but I think that it's almost just trolling the fans, which it would be huge if Matt Hardy did this because he's been doing this for so long. Other news, Undertaker today reported being at the Performance Center. Typically when he does this, he has been there for like a, I don't want to say a coaching, but like he, you know, he went there to watch some guys train, give some advice, things like that. Is he training for a match? The new match, you know, I've been saying the last few weeks that, you know, after hearing Sting getting cleared, it's like, I'd love to see Sting and Taker, even though that's more of a nostalgia type match. Like a what might have been if they get in the ring. From what we're hearing, the new news is Undertaker versus AJ Styles. You know, is Sting healthy? Who knows? Now, I see this match with AJ Styles going one of two ways. I could see AJ Styles a consummate professional. I think it's perfect spot for the Undertaker, perfect spot for AJ Styles. Undertaker gets the win. I think AJ Styles can be... a loss like this does not affect him. A loss for the Undertaker, I don't think, does anything. What I would love to see, if Sting actually is healthy and they were going to end up having a match, is it a match at WrestleMania? I don't think it needs to be. I don't think you can count on getting to next WrestleMania with these guys. What I think, if it was me, if I was the booker and you had, you know, Sting being healthy, again, Sting being healthy, and the Undertaker can get out of this match healthy as well, which I think AJ Styles can you know, cover any deficiencies in The Undertaker quite well, better than a Goldberg could, or, you know, a guy like that. I would have Sting show, you know, as The Undertaker is celebrating the victory in the ring, I would have Sting show, or The Crows play, or something like that. Something that kind of, like, steps in the limelight for him and set up something for SummerSlam. Make, you know, SummerSlam is, you know, one of the top four Survivor Series, and Royal Rumble being the other two other than WrestleMania. But, you know, SummerSlam, that would be huge. That would be a gigantic, maybe not co-main event, maybe middle of the show, nice match. That would be the feud. Is this match, you know, Sting Undertaker worth WrestleMania? I don't personally think so. Love to see it as a wrestling fan, as a kid. Would have loved to see it as a teenager, would have loved to see it as a 22-year-old, would have loved to see it. But, you know, at this point, I don't think it's WrestleMania worthy. I think one of the other big four, and SummerSlam being the best spot for it, I think is where it's at. In relation to tonight's wrestling, before we get to our birthdays and NXT itself, AEW, heard they put on a great show. You know, one of their big things is this group called the Dark Order. Now, the Dark Order is, I don't even know how to explain them because I've seen them more in highlights, never really watched a show with them. It's a large group of masked wrestlers. Some wrestlers, some just hanger-oners. They have an Exalted One. This Exalted One is a person kind of telling him what to do, and this would be a spot where, you know, you're talking about Matt Hardy's going there, like this is going to be him, the Exalted One. If it's perfect with the Free the Elite character and all that. But the other names, you know, you've got Luke Harper. I don't think Luke Harper could be considered the Exalted One. I don't think it fits with his character necessarily. Christopher Daniels, who's there. Christopher Daniels would be a great pick for that type of role, being that he, you know, his old school gimmick, the Fallen Angel, you know, he personifies that type of role, that type of gimmick. I think he would be perfect. Last one, and tonight it was in Atlanta, and I see screenshots of this. You have Raven sitting at the side, and there was mention about being the Exalted One's always watching, and it kind of has him peering in the background. I don't see a reason for that. Like, what would the reason be? Raven can barely move. I saw him wrestle in, I want to say it was 2018. I saw him wrestle in 2018, and he could barely move. You know, if we're talking about just for promos, just for kind of like as a manager, absolutely. I think that would be fantastic. I think Raven brings great name value to something like that. But I also don't think it's the best choice. I think Christopher Daniels is the best choice. If Matt Hardy goes to AEW, obviously I think he is the best choice based on the Free the Delete. But in this sense, Raven I could see actually mattering. But would they show him like that? I just don't. I feel like that gives something away. It's something that you can say for a huge spot. And I don't think one show in Atlanta is that spot. But that's enough AEW talk from me and Raw and SmackDown. Let's get to our birthdays so we can jump right into NXT. First birthdays, dude, we got a lot of birthdays. I think we're talking 5 birthdays today. We're just going to run through them. We're not going to do our normal spiel on TakeOver Portland. Gangrel got a solid 3 to 4 minutes, which I was actually really surprised about in listening back to that. First one today is Big John Studd. He would be 72. Died in 1995, held numerous championships. Big John Studd was he was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2004. Obviously, possibly because he already died. Francine turns 48. Francine, former wrestling valet and manager. And she randomly wrestled. Francine did actually randomly wrestle. She was in ECW from 95 to 01, and she was briefly in WWE for about a year in the mid-2000s. El Torito turns 38. El Torito, the, I guess you can call him manager. I was going to say mascot, and I thought that was rude, but manager for Los Matadors. He was about 4.5 feet tall. He was known throughout Lucha in Mexico and wrestled for numerous promotions there, AAA and CMLL and all that. Next is Sean Spears. Everybody, you know Sean Spears if you watch AEW. He is WWE's Ty Dillinger, the Perfect 10, which I thought was a great gimmick. He just never got the push. He was overshadowed, I think, by great wrestler. You know, great wrestler. But I feel like the names that were coming in when he was relevant in NXT were just, I mean, just Joe, Balor, Neville, you had all these guys. It's like, you don't have it. It's the same thing with Tyler Breeze. I feel like both those guys just were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like I said, he's in AEW now. He had a good early feud with Cody Rhodes, who's nicknamed the chairman for that chair shot that he had on Cody Rhodes. You know, Sean Spears, I saw something online about where did Sean Spears go. Like, he came in hot and had Tully Blanchard with him and then kind of disappeared. Last one, birthday-wise, is Jack Gallagher, Gentleman Jack Gallagher, who is a 205 Live NXT and NXT UK wrestler. I think he's fantastic. His moveset is a little strange. It is that British strong style in a way, very strong, but also very, like, I want to say meticulous would be the right word, meticulous in the way he does moves and does things. He is a crisp 30 years old. All right, next we're going to go into what happened in Portland. So, in TakeOver Portland, I'm just going to run through it, because usually we go over what happened in last week's episodes. We're not going to do that today, just because last week's episodes feel like it was so long ago. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to run through the winners from Portland. Like I said, if you want to listen to the show, it is up on the site. And it's going to kind of give you a little bit of review of Portland, but here are the winners. You had Adam Cole, who defeated Tommaso Ciampa via Gargano interference. The Broserweights defeated the Undisputed Era. Rhea Ripley defeated Belair, which after that, Charlotte Flair came out and said that she's going to wrestle at WrestleMania. You have Finn Balor defeating Johnny Gargano. Dakota Kai defeated Tegan Nox due to the interference by Raquel Martinez, and we do talk about that tonight. And, of course, Keith Lee defeats Dijakovic in a fantastic match that I personally think ends the feud after tonight. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. So like I normally do when I normally do the reviews when I talk about the matches, I don't really go into the matches in depth. I give you a little bit here or there. But in a lot of them, I want you to watch it. You know, that's what's fun about wrestling, is watching the matches and seeing the emotion and the power in the ring, not really just hearing voices. You know, not Randy Orton style, because clearly that makes you go crazy. But, you know, that's the way I do it, and play-by-play for me can be a little bit rough. To me, visual is the way to go when it comes to wrestling. As NXT normally does, it started off pretty hot tonight. You have Jordan Devlin. This is for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. Jordan Devlin versus Leo Rush. Leo Rush, 2 weeks ago, won a number one contendership match to be in this position. Leo Rush, who I thought was a great Cruiserweight champion, him and some of his matches with Angel Garza, absolutely great. And Angel Garza is a breath of fresh air to the Raw roster, in my opinion. I think he's absolutely fantastic. Nice little showman. I think showman would be the best word for him. I know he's really up there covering for Andrade, but I think he's found a semi-permanent home. Definitely wouldn't say it's permanent because he is an NXT Cruiserweight. But this match was absolutely, in my opinion, this was the best match on the card. Overall, this card kind of was underwhelming, in my opinion, especially coming off the heels of such a great takeover pay-per-view. But this match, you know, Jordan Devlin does get the win in about 20 minutes or so, something like that. Give it a 3.5 out of 5. Like I said, it is the best match that was on the show tonight. But to start out hot like they do, especially with Cruiserweights, and we talked about this on the Portland, how they always go with the Cruiserweights at the beginning, and usually it's because it gets people's blood flowing, and this was no different. Both of these guys got to deliver the moves that they do. I mean, you know, everyone hit their moves. Yeah, Leo Rush didn't hit the final hour, but everyone got to hit their moves. Devlin winning, I think, was the only option. I feel like them putting him to the forefront is what is needed, and I would love to see, because I know Finn Balor had a thing tonight about wait to see what's next, and he's going to go to NXT UK. Would love to see him challenge Jordan Devlin to put him over the top, if that's what they're looking to do with Jordan Devlin. I think Jordan Devlin's fantastic. And, you know, Leo Rush losing this, it doesn't hurt him too much. He's still on top of the Cruiserweight game in NXT, other than the champion, obviously. And he put it to him. I mean, personally, I didn't think Leo Rush was going to win, just based off the quick change like that would be, in my opinion, a little much. But Jordan Devlin, definitely right guy to have the championship, right guy to retain the championship. Next match on here, I give a 2.5 out of 5. It was the Grizzled Young Veterans. And they're facing kind of a thrown together team of Joakim Wilde and Raul Mendoza. To me, this match didn't do a lot for me. 2.5 out of 5, it was an average match. I think the Grizzled Young Veterans are a great team. Why were they here tonight? Who knows? To me, they're not. They're okay. They're a good team. But a lot of the NXT UK and a lot of British wrestling and things like that, to me, they're not overly exciting. And they're not overly exciting. There's no real reason they're there. Do they try to face off with the Broserweights at some time? Maybe. I don't see a real reason. But the Grizzly Young Veterans do get a win. It was less than 5 minutes, like I said. But for what it was, 2.5 out of 5, it was enough to showcase the Grizzly Young Veterans against, in my opinion, a couple jobbers. Next match, we had another tag team match immediately after. You had the Broserweights versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. Now, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch are more of that strong style type from UK. I think they, hard-hitting, good team for what it is. Good team. Single wrestler-wise, I wouldn't say either one of those guys are spectacular. They're not exciting. But in a tag team, they're really good. And against the Broserweights, this is obviously not for the title. Broserweights do pick up the win in around 10 minutes. Everything, you know, they hit all of their classic moves. I do like the combination of them. I'm waiting for the implosion. I thought the implosion would happen at TakeOver Portland, but it didn't. So I'm waiting for that implosion. This match on here, like I said, it was a solid match. They hit everything. I really do like Lorcan and Burch. I feel they almost work harder than anyone that they're wrestling in the ring. Like, they are almost the guys who are putting the other people over in almost every instant. For me, this match was a real 2.75, 3. I'll give it a 3 out of 5. I think it was right in the middle of that average. Next match, originally I don't even think it was supposed to be a match. You had Keith Lee come out. He was talking. Conor Reeves interrupts him. Conor Reeves, who is on occasionally, he gets pounced while he's in the ring after he gets interrupted in something Keith Lee calls the Big Bang Catastrophe, also known as a jackhammer. He hits that on him. Keith Lee went in about 10 seconds. I mentioned Dijakovic. He comes out and he said that he's not ready to move on. He said a bunch of, if this did happen or this didn't, if I didn't get hurt, I would have won, blah, blah, blah. Keith Lee mentioned, what the fans chant all the time, and the fans started getting that fight forever chant. So, Lee said that the fans want him to fight forever, that he won, but he's willing to do it again. And he said, go convince Regal to do it. And you got it. Which, is that a match I'm looking forward to? I feel there's other opportunities for Keith Lee other than Dijakovic. For Dijakovic, I feel Keith Lee is about as good as it's going to get for him. I think he showcases Keith Lee, I shouldn't say that, what they showcase in each other is absolutely fantastic, but I feel like Dijakovic needs Keith Lee more than Keith Lee needs Dominic Dijakovic. That is unfortunate because he's a great athlete, but I really do think that Keith Lee is in an echelon above the middle card of NXT. I feel like Adam Cole is at the top of the top. Finn Balor, Gargano, Ciampa, you got those guys at the top. And Keith Lee can get there. He really can. But I think at this point, Dijakovic is way underneath. I'm looking forward to see who the next challenger is to Keith Lee. I hope it is not another Dijakovic match. I like where they're at in the feud. It was a best out of five, in essence. And I think that's where it should stop. Next match you had was Chelsea Green versus Kayden Carter. This Robert Stone Productions, who used to be Robbie E from TNA. This match was it was strange. I don't know what to say about this match. This match to me gets a 1 out of 5. I think what happened in the match was awful. Bianca Belair randomly enters the ring, just randomly, literally walks in, no worries. Picks up a microphone, says she'll let them finish, but needs to address Charlotte Flair. She said she doesn't care if it's NXT or anywhere else, she's going to whip her ass, blah, blah, blah. So after this, it was an awkward sequence. Chelsea Green rolled up Kayden Carter like 3 or 4 times. It was just, it was bad. And then Chelsea Green gets super kicked, goes outside, goes back inside. Robert Stone trips up Kayden Carter. Green hits the Unprettier. Now, and this is another reason why I'm actually surprised that I gave this any stars, to be honest, because they called it the Unprettier. Now, if I remember the Unprettier, that was Christian's move, if I'm not mistaken. And when Chelsea Green does this move, she did it backwards. She had her face facing up and not down, unless I'm totally blind. And I sat there and thought about it after, like I'm watching that, and I'm sitting there taking notes, like I always take notes. And the Unprettier, I'm like, wait, did he call that the Unprettier? And I'm sitting there thinking, wait, there's no possible way that this is the same move. It was called the same move, but there's no possible way it was the same move. In the women's division, there's so many good things other than Aaliyah. And I thought Bianca Belair's timing was bad. I thought the Unprettier thing ruined this match. Chelsea Green gets the win, but this match was a mess. Like, if you want to watch a mess, tune into this match and watch it. I might actually watch it just to see if I saw the Unprettier again. I will fast forward, but I won't put it back on. And then your last match of the night, which was the main event, which had a lot of energy and emotion behind in the last couple weeks, to me really fell apart. Like, I didn't think it was very good. You have Roderick Strong versus Velveteen Dream. Velveteen Dream has Roderick Strong's wife on his pants for weeks, his family on his pants with his child as well, saying that he's going to take her home, he's going to do stuff with her, blah, 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 all that stuff. And to me, the match fell apart. Like, I feel like Roderick Strong was mad, but he was never, like, super intense. Like, I'm not looking for the Steve Austin, Brian Pillman type intensity where Pillman brings the gun and blah, blah, blah. That's not what I was looking for. I was looking for some type of intensity other than a regular match. Like, I feel like Roderick Strong was just as much into this match as he was any other match in his career. And based on what Velveteen Dream said, you know, I don't think you can be. Now, that being said, Velveteen Dream tonight, I don't know. I mean, how many matches has he wrestled since he's come back from injury? Obviously, he's wrestled at the Performance Center, make sure he's in shape and all that. Roderick Strong was fantastic tonight, and I think Roderick Strong's fantastic in every match that he has. You know, the match that he had with Lee and Dijakovic, just as much as me liking Keith Lee, he was the second best person in that match. But I gave this a 3 out of 5 because I was super disappointed in the Velveteen Dream. And I hate saying that because I think he is the top. He's top 5 in who they should call up. Like, there's guys like Adam Cole I do not think they should bring up. A guy like Gargano and Ciampa I think will get lost on the main roster. But I think Velveteen Dream, he might be top 2 or 3 of guys that need to come up. He really had a strong showing. He was off. Something was not right about him tonight. I feel like he looked slow. I feel like he looked less confident in the ring. I love the little Elvis-style onesie jumpsuit that he had on that he ends up pulling off right at the end to show Marina Shafir on his crotch and on his butt. You know, he takes that off, and Undisputed Era, of course, he's getting ready to jump on top of Roderick Strong, do a big splash on him or a big elbow drop, and Undisputed Era shows up and he hits him out with a double axe handle on the outside. It's like a triple axe handle if you think about it. You know, he ends up jumping in and he jumps right into a jumping knee. He does end up hitting the second Dream Valley driver, which got the win. It's about a 15-minute match. But to me, I just feel like the emotion wasn't there. I feel like Roderick Strong, for everything great he did in the ring, emotionally he didn't sell me on the fact that, you know, he was livid about what the Dream was doing. And I just, there was something weird about this. Like I said, this was a strange night. So what stood out to me tonight is the lack of average, or the fullness, the lack of great matches. Like there usually is. I feel like coming off TakeOver, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a downward. Like, you can only be so high for so long. And I feel like TakeOver Portland was absolutely fantastic. And I feel, of course, this was going to be less. It was just a regular old show. Jordan Devlin versus Leo Rush, to me, is a definite watch. If you don't know who Jordan Devlin is, please tune in to this match because he's fantastic. Leo Rush is great, too. But if you know wrestling, you know who Leo Rush is. Promos. You had Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, who are interviewed in the back. Raquel says she understands what Dakota went through. Tegan got all the opportunities and pushed her aside, which is what Raquel said happened to her at the Performance Center. Now, after this little thing, and that we talked about earlier, how that match ended at TakeOver Portland. So William Regal comes in, tells Dakota Kai that she's going to be facing Tegan Nox in a steel cage in 2 weeks. Just so there's no outside interference, so it's going to be a steel cage. And this is what I was talking about during the Portland. I feel like Dakota Kai needed the win because Tegan Nox already had one, and then they could have another big match. Does this feud end after this? I can't imagine. But a steel cage in 2 weeks on a free cable network, absolutely fantastic. Earlier, Austin Theory came out for a match, but Tommaso Ciampa walked out and interrupted him. You know, he goes to talk, and Theory comes up to him. Ciampa warns him not to mess with him tonight. Said he was too focused on Goldie and missed the signs leading to what Gargano did. Because, you know, like we said earlier, Gargano, I don't want to say betrayed him, but interfered, hit him with the belt, which allowed Adam Cole to pick up the win. Austin Theory grabbed him and got laid out. Ciampa then says, you know, he's got to get his life back. And there can be no Gargano in NXT. Ciampa continues to beat Austin Theory and threw him into the guardrail a dozen times. Who knows? It was more than 5 times. Less than 20, somewhere in between there. Also, I mentioned it earlier, but I like the Finn Balor vignette that played. How he says that every hyped opponent has fallen to him and watch what he does next week. Now, I'm not sure if it's next week when he goes to NXT UK. I know it's within the next 2 to 3 weeks he will be going and doing something with NXT UK. But he will be live next week on NXT. I'm very excited about that. speaking of next week, you have Austin Theory versus Tommaso Ciampa. That's the only match that is actually listed at this time. But after tonight, you know, Austin Theory, I think, is you know, great shape. Evolve champion. I think he's absolutely fantastic. Of course, Ciampa. I could see Gargano getting interfering here, costing Ciampa the match. You never know. I think that would be another great way to get heel heat by costing the babyface the match. And I think this is the perfect opportunity to do it against a great guy like Austin Theory. And as we just mentioned earlier, 2 weeks from now, it is Dakota Kai versus Tegan Nox in that steel cage match. That's going to be it for me today. I appreciate everybody listening. Please feel free to follow me, comment, questions, good, bad, ugly, I don't care. Say it on the Twitter. It's at the CO place to go. I hope you enjoy listening to this NXT review. Like I said, very average night after a huge, huge takeover Portland. That was absolutely fantastic. If you're watching again, Jordan, Devlin, Leo Rush, hope to hear from you guys and can't wait to do this again next week.